Last week we talked about the miracle of our redemption. And I don't know what you were expecting when you signed up for a class called The Miracles of Jesus. I know we typically focus on miracles he performed in the New Testament, like that we've covered. But if we're really going to be true to form, we need to talk about the most significant and most majestic and the most impactful miracles. And so we talked last week about the miracle of our redemption. There is a miracle in our redemption. What the Father was willing to do, what the Savior was willing to do, that's a miracle in our redemption. So true to that kind of form and picking up kind of where we left off, I want to talk about what I believe is one of the most important miracles that happens in our lives. If I have a withered hand and I get the hand replaced, that's significant. But to be guided from on high throughout my entire life has got to be one of the most significant miracles he performs. The world would certainly consider it a miracle that a divine being that they can't see is guiding our lives, speaking to us, helping us. I love how C.S. Lewis portrayed it, maybe as kind of a beginning. He cannot insert himself so much that he takes away our agency. There's two things he cannot use. C.S. Lewis names them as the irrefutable and the irresistible. If he made the gospel irresistible so that the entire world could not resist it, or if he made the evidence for truth so irrefutable, would we have agency? So why doesn't he appear? Why has Jesus not suddenly showed up and all throughout the world? Why doesn't he show up at General Conference and tell the whole world, hey, this is my church? It would interfere with our agency. So he can't press so much that he takes away our agency, but he presses enough to guide us. And if you want to bring about one of the greatest miracles of your life, let's talk about how to improve my ability to be guided by him. Today's miracle is that he's going to speak to me. He's going to answer a question. He's going to be with me. We're going to loop them all together and call them miracles of guidance, miracles of direction, miracles of a finite, a mortal being in this mortal fallen world being guided from on high. Tell me that's not one of the greatest miracles that occurs on a daily basis. And honestly, I would rather have his guidance than have my withered hand restored. To be guided from on high has got to be one of the greatest miracles of our lives. And if we're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus, let's talk about the miracle of him guiding us. So let me testify that one of the ways we increase communication with him, the one of the ways we hear more of his voice, is to recognize how he speaks. Now, normally, I would begin this conversation with a question. I would have you take a poll. I won't do that today. But I have often had people close their eyes and answer the following question. Fill in the blank. I receive revelation blank. And you can say constantly, frequently, occasionally, rarely, never. I receive revelation, and which one of those would you choose? The average Latter-day Saint, as I've asked them that question, usually votes somewhere around rarely or occasionally. I receive revelation occasionally. And that is absolutely false. You receive revelation constantly. Now, whether or not you recognize it, whether or not you heed and follow is a different story, but you receive revelation constantly. And if I can convince you that one of the greatest miracles of your everyday life is that today he spoke, and today I heard. And I am better, and I have direction because of it. So let's talk about how he speaks. I know what we've typically done is we've talked about, let's understand the miracle, and let's talk about how to increase it. I'm kind of going to do that simultaneously because I am going to testify from the very beginning that one of the ways you increase the miracle of communication, the miracle of hearing his voice, is you recognize when he speaks. You recognize that he's speaking, you acknowledge, you honor, and you invite more. So whether or not you hear his voice more clearly really is up to you in terms of how often do you recognize the voice that is coming? How often do you recognize, you know what? He just spoke to me. I recognize that. You invite more. You invite the miracle of our everyday lives, the miracle of communication with God by recognizing how he speaks. Now, we have 50 minutes. Okay, we have 33 minutes. We could spend hours on this list. And I don't know that we need to. So what I want to do, and I know this is kind of a shotgun approach, I am just going to throw at you dozens of ways that he speaks in hope that you begin to realize, wait a minute, I recognize that. Oh, wait, I recognize that. That's happened. That happens. I want to just go through the scriptures, list scriptures that indicate, I kind of have there's a special color that I mark my scriptures with. Anytime I recognize, that's a means of communication. That's one way we receive revelation. I mark it in that color. And it is amazing to me how many things come up in that color. If you're not paying attention, you'll miss it, because in the middle of a story that you don't expect to be about revelation, all of a sudden he just drops a hint about how he made someone know something. And you begin to recognize, I cannot count the number of different ways he speaks. And that's my goal today, is to talk about the miracle of communication, the miracle of being guided by divine hands. And the way we invite that is we recognize the way he's speaking and we invite more. So I know this is a little bit different of approach than we would normally take, but let's talk about how he speaks. How does revelation come? In what form does it come? How do I recognize it? And I'm going to let him point them out. So turn with me to the Doctrine and Covenants. We'll primarily use Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Mormon. The Doctrine and Covenants is fascinating because, think about it, when the Restoration began, the Lord had to teach an unschooled group of people coming out of an apostasy. He has to teach them how to receive revelation. And that was a significant task. I want to start in Section 8, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 8. These early sections are filled with how he speaks. And this is one of the greatest clues I could give you. Now, this is where I want to write these, but I want the scriptures. So I may have to have the scriptures half on the screen. Guys, those of you who are watching at home, you may have to have the scriptures half on, because I want to fill this board with how does he speak. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 8, Verse 2, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart. That's how we're going to distinguish these. I'm going to tell you in your mind and I'm going to tell you in your heart. I will speak. The miracle of communication with God comes in two forms. One form is I will speak to your heart. Secondly, I will speak to your mind. Now, let me just point out, both of those have a different purpose. Messages to our heart are the more general, non-specific, this is something you need to do. These are really God with us revelations. Sometimes I just need
him there.
I don't need specific instructions. I just need him there. And the miracle of him being in my life is manifest in many, many different ways. When I need specific instruction, this is instruction. Something I need to do or be. So usually these are to-dos. Yeah, let me put it this way. Something I need to do or know. Information is being conveyed. He's telling me something I need to know, something I need to do, a place I need to go, someone I need to contact. That's specific. That's going to come to my mind. That doesn't look good. Let me put this over here. Okay, I won't crowd that. Messages to our mind are instruction. Things I need to do or know. Something specific that comes to my mind. There is something very specific he needs me to do today. Or I've asked a question and he's going to answer it. So those would come to my mind. Presence, feeling him with me, strength to carry on. Those are messages to my heart. And I think if you begin to distinguish those two and reread the scriptures, you'll begin to make an incredible list of both of those. Messages to my heart and messages to my mind. Now, do not discount messages to the heart as being revelation. Sometimes we think revelation is only when he told me to do something. But I would suggest that one of the most common ways he instructs me is general messages of he's with me. Let's see if we can fill this one out. Let's start with heart. Let's start with how does he speak to my heart? Let me just show you a handful of examples. Let's turn to the Book of Mormon. We'll just go through the Book of Mormon, relax your eyes a little bit, and start looking for how he speaks. And I want to show you a very fascinating one. 2 Nephi chapter 2, right at the very beginning. Now, he makes an appearance to Lehi. That's a dream. That's a mind. That's a come to your mind type thing. I want to focus on messages to your heart. Look at 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 16, and tell me one of the great manifestations of having God with me. When God is with me, he does what? He softens hearts. Having him in my presence, in my heart, I can see him with me because it softened my heart. How many times have you had someone describe, I never thought I'd go on a mission, but my heart was softened. Now, again, no instruction, simply a softening of my heart. Great manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now, push that a little bit further. Let's do another one. Turn to Mosiah chapter 4. What do the people of King Benjamin say? They knew the Holy Ghost was with them. Now, nothing specific, no specific message came. But how did they know that the Lord was with them? Go to chapter 5, verse 2. Mosiah chapter 5, verse 2. What is a very common manifestation of God being with me? Having the Spirit. Having the Spirit does what? We believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. We know of their assurity and truth because the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our, key word here, hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. That is revelation. That is pure diamond revelation. And that is a changed heart. He has been with me all along. He softened and changed my heart. Looking back on your life, can you see a changed, softened heart? And what would you conclude then? He has always been with me. He works on that heart. That's revelation. Now, another way to look at it, turn with me back to the Doctrine and Covenants. Let's go to section 11. Again, coaching those early saints, he says to Hiram, Joseph's brother, Hiram Smith, and he says, verse 12, section 11, verse 12. Now, verily, verily, I say unto thee, put your trust in that Spirit, that what? Here's in his own words, here's what the Spirit does. Having the Spirit with you causes you to do what? One of the great manifestations, one of the ways you know the Spirit is with you, is it leads to do good. Now, how many times have you been in a sacrament meeting or a spiritual event and no real instruction came? I didn't really get a to do or a to know. But I walked away wanting to be a better person. That was a Spirit-filled meeting. Even without a specific do this, I walked away wanting to do good, wanting to judge righteously, to walk humbly. One of the great manifestations of the Spirit is He just inspires us to do good. I want to be better. If you find yourself constantly wanting to be better than you are, then you are being led by revelation. He is with you. All right, just a few. We can't spend a long time here, but just a few that maybe you haven't thought about. How about when you have to do something scary? All of us are going to be in situations where I have to do something scary. Can you think of a time in the Book of Mormon where someone had to do something scary? How about go on a mission to the Lamanites? And so Alma chapter 17, watch what he does. Alma chapter 17, they are in a very scary situation. Let me just point out, verse 10, it came to pass that the Lord did visit them with his Spirit and said unto them, there's the mind, right? Now he's speaking to their mind. Go forth, be a good example. But here's a subtle one. If you're not looking, you're going to miss these. And it came to pass that the hearts of the sons of Mosiah, there's my key word there, hearts. The hearts of the sons of Mosiah and also those that were with them took. So tell me what the Spirit's manifestation was. No revelation. Yes, they got some specific, but this one is simply courage. Courage. Courage to do what is scary. Now, I'm not saying all courage comes from the Spirit, but quite often the Spirit manifests himself in the form of courage. That's a marvelous way that the Spirit speaks, is courage. Let's do a similar one. What about when you're in pain? When you're in pain, sometimes I just don't need the message. I just needs something else. Instead of a message, I need something to my heart. So let's turn to a manifestation to the heart of a group of people in pain. Mosiah chapter 24. This is where Alma the elder has left the priests of Noah. He's gone off over and he's taken a group of 400. They're getting baptized. They're preaching the gospel. And then here comes Amulon. And Amulon makes their lives miserable, puts tasks over them, makes their life absolutely miserable. Look at the description. Verse 10, it came to pass that so great were their afflictions that they began to cry mightily to God. Looking at verse 9, he had exercised authority. He put tasks over them, put taskmasters upon them. Now, in their pain, now we've read this one before, but look at it with a new set of eyes. In their pain, verse 12, Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord, but they did pour out their hearts. Key word here, I'm starting to hear that. And he did know the thoughts of their hearts. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto them in their afflictions. This is to the mind, right? He's speaking to the mind and says, lift up your hearts, your heads, and be of good comfort. For I know of the covenant which you have made unto me. And I will covenant that I will deliver my people. What's the manifestation of the heart that's coming as he's speaking to their minds? Comfort. Comfort. That's revelation. Right now, what I need is to him just to be with me. That's the miracle that occurred today. He was just with me and comforted me in my sorrow. He wrapped his arms around me. That is a manifestation of revelation. That is one of the great miracles of Jesus, is to pour out comfort to those who are hurting. Now, what else do we need when we're hurting? I will ease your burdens, which are put upon your shoulders, even that you cannot feel them upon your backs while you're in bondage. Now, he's speaking. That was him to their minds. Now watch what happens. It came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. How? The Lord did what? There is one of the great manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That is revelation, strength. Simply the strength to get out of bed sometimes. The strength to just carry on with your day. Now, he's not speaking to my mind. He's just with me to strengthen me. And recognizing that is one of the ways I invite more. How many days does he manifest himself simply by giving you the strength to carry on? The courage. The comfort, inspiring you to be good. How many ways has he spoken to you today, this week, this year, in just messages to the heart? Do you see how we could go on and let's just do one more. We've got to get to this list, but let's do one more. Let's go to Doctrine and Covenants section 121. Verse 45. I love this one, and you can easily miss it because it's in such a beautiful group of verses. Section 121 in the letter in Liberty Jail. Notice he says, let virtue, starting in verse 45, let your bowels be full of charity towards all men. Household of, let virtue garnish your thoughts unceasingly. And then shall thy confidence wax strong. That is a manifestation of the Spirit. Confidence. You've all watched a missionary leave and a missionary come home. What's the difference? 2 years with the Holy Ghost or 18 months with the Holy Ghost has done what? It changed them, softened them, gave them a great courage, and now they stand there with incredible confidence. How often does the Spirit speak to you? One of the great miracles of Jesus. is that he is with us. Now, I'd love to continue. I would invite you, as you study the scriptures, to start to watch for manifestations of the Spirit. Watch for what comes over people. How does God manifest himself? You will make massive lists. But I feel like we need to get to this one because sometimes we do need instruction. I need to know an answer. So let's talk about this one. How does he guide me? What did he say today that I needed to know or I needed to do? And how do I recognize his revelation? So let's start in section 6. Doctrine and Covenant, section 6. Again, the Lord in the early sections, you'll find a lot of these in the early sections where the Lord is teaching his new church how to receive revelation. This is a really powerful one. If you, so verse 22, section 6, verse 22. Verily I say unto you, if you desire a further witness, cast your mind upon the night that you cried unto me in your heart, that you might know concerning the truth of these things. So there's a question he's seeking. There's an answer to a question. Are these things true? Did I not speak peace? Notice the wording. To your mind. I would suggest that this one is peace to my heart. Peace to my mind is in the confusion of my circumstances. All of a sudden, a peace. Peace in confusion is one of the ways he answers. This is right. We'll get to that one in a minute. This is good. I feel at peace with this specific answer. I'm at peace in general would be to my heart, but peace to my mind, notice the wording there. Did I not speak peace to your mind? Sometimes the answer comes in the form of, oh, okay, I know what to do. Peace in confusion. Now, very, very related to that is number 2. Turn with me just a few sections later to section 9. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning this matter? Now, section 9, I know the setting here is translating the gold plates, but I think we can apply this to all of our lives. Verse 8. If it's right, look at the very end. If it's right, you shall feel that it is right. It is right. That's a specific. That's to your mind. In other words, I feel it is right. It's this overwhelming, this is the right thing. He has answered my question. I feel it is right. I was questioning where to go to school after high school. Got a scholarship to a school, didn't plan on attending. Drove up there. Walked across the campus, and I knew this is the right place for me. This is the right place. I felt it is right. It's very different than all of a sudden there is peace in confusion, peace that directs me. This one is, I know the right thing to do. I feel it is right. Any thoughts, testimonials? I want to begin with those two because now I want to do what I believe is the most common way he speaks to you and you don't even realize it. There is an opposite to this. Notice the very next verse. If it's not right, you will have no such feeling. But there is a voice that says what? I know you've all heard it. I hear it all the freaking time. There is a voice that says what? What you are doing, Bryce, is not right. There is a voice, and you will feel it is not right. How many times do you hear that voice? I can't sin without hearing that voice. I can't think about sinning. I can't plan on sinning without hearing that voice. Every time. Sometimes I'll say something in that voice that you didn't need to say that. You could have gone all day and not said that. How many times does he tell you that it's wrong? That you're doing something wrong? Now, let me point out, I believe these two can border on the edge of agency violations. He's telling me what to do. I know they're sometimes necessary. He very rarely tells me what to do. The best way he communicates is by telling you what not to do. Therefore, if he's not saying this, what does that mean? Now, I wish I had trumpets. I wish I had music that would just crescendo at this moment so that all of a sudden you would say, oh my goodness, I get it. The absence of this voice is the most common way we receive revelation. The absence of hearing his voice. If I'm not going the wrong direction, what does that mean? That means I'm going the right direction. I can plan, I can guide my life simply by knowing I'm not going the wrong way. Now, do I sometimes need to know the right thing to do? And yes, I do. There are moments where he needs to tell me this is the right thing. But the most common way he speaks, and I wish I could just yell this, is the voice that says you're doing the wrong thing. Let me give you an example. If you were to ask for a ride home, hey, Brother Dunford, could I get a ride home? Sure, hop in. Odds are you would not give me turn-by-turn instructions. Okay, turn your car on, go in reverse, back up out of the parking lot, go to the exit of the parking lot, go out. You wouldn't, would you? When would you speak? I would suggest you speak at two moments. There's two moments where you would speak to me. Number one, what is it? Something important is coming up. You need to turn left here. Something very important is coming up, and you need to make sure you get it right. So there are moments where he says, you've got to turn left right here. And then when else would you speak to me? Probably more commonly. When would you speak to me? You needed to take that turn. That was the right house. Now think about Heavenly Father. It is not often that he's going to say, you have to do this today. Because most of my life is my agency choosing. But he is going to be very quick to point out when I'm going the wrong, dangerous, hurtful way. And one of the best ways you can understand that you're being guided is I'm not going the wrong way. I know I'm not going the wrong way, which means I'm going the right direction. Do you see how often you receive revelation? Constantly. Constantly. And if you understand that the best way he guides you is by pointing out the wrong turns you've taken. That is one of the biggest aha moments of my whole life, is when I realized I'm not doing the wrong thing. Can I say this? If someone were to walk by, they think less of me, but I hope you won't. I did not marry Jennifer because she was the right person. I don't believe there is a right person. I married Jennifer because she very clearly was not the wrong person. She was not the wrong person. Now, I didn't understand that. I kept asking Heavenly Father, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she the one? Give me a confirmation. Tell me it's right. And it never came. Till I realized all along, I've known it's not wrong. So the day I was set to propose, I was in the temple and I said, Heavenly Father, I'm going to propose today. I'm going to ask Jennifer to marry me. And if that's wrong, I need you to stop me. And then I realized, wait a minute, he would have told me that all along. Not the day I'm about to propose. I knew it wasn't wrong. I knew it wasn't wrong. Therefore, I concluded, it was right. Do you see that reality? The miracle of him guiding us. And he speaks far more often than you realize. Because as long as you're not going the wrong direction. Let me give you an example. I love this one from Elder Holland's son, Matt. Let me go here. Whoops. Whoops, I have it under him. That's right, not under Elder Hall. Sorry, hold on. So, one day they're traveling. They come to a fork in the road. They go to the left, go to the left, and then very quickly they realized that the bridge was out, and that was the wrong way. But they had felt inspired to go to the left. So they turn around and they're headed back the other way, and Matt speaks to Elder Holland and said, Dad, why did we both feel like Heavenly Father told us to go down the road to the left when it was the wrong road? Why would Heavenly Father tell us the wrong road? Maddie, I've been thinking and silently praying about that same thing all the way, because I really did feel a very distinct impression to take the road to the left. The Lord has taught us an important lesson today. Because we were prompted to take the road to the left, we quickly discovered that it was the wrong one. We quickly discovered which one was the right one. When we turned around and got on the right road, I was able to travel along its many unfamiliar twists and turnoffs, perfectly content I was headed in the right direction. How did he know he was headed in the right direction? Because he wasn't on the wrong road. If I had started on the right road, we might have driven for 30 minutes or so, become uneasy with the unfamiliar surroundings, been tempted to turn back. If we had done that, we would have discovered the dead end so late, it would have been too dark to find our way back in totally unfamiliar territory. Because I knew I wasn't on the wrong road, I drove with complete confidence. And I think that is one of the great keys to understanding the miracle of revelation. Is that he will so quickly tell me when I'm going the wrong way. But he is often silent when I'm going the right way. Now, what's my impertinence? Do you see the problem? He's not speaking to me, so what do I conclude? I'm not receiving revelation. But the reality is I am. Because absent him saying this is the wrong way is the revelation I needed. I am going the right direction. Okay, so a couple others. Let's just talk about things he plants, he puts. Things he puts in my mind. Let's make a list of things that he suddenly puts in my mind. Now, clearly, there's so many scriptures, we won't point to very many, but how many times have we already read that a thought came into their mind? He put a thought in their head. Now, I'm guessing he's doing that all the time to you, and maybe you're not recognizing. So let me tell you something I learned about thoughts. Because sometimes it's hard to distinguish between my thought and his thought. Because I don't hear his voice when he puts a thought in my head. I hear my voice. It still sounds like my voice. So let me just point out something that Joseph taught me. This is Joseph Smith. Ready? A person may profit by noticing the first intimation of the spirit of revelation. For instance, when you feel pure intelligence flowing into you, it may give you sudden strokes of ideas, so that by noticing it, you may find it fulfilled the same day or soon. Let me ask a serious question. How many times have you had a thought pop into your head and then that day it came true? I find that happens all the time. A thought and then it happens. Paul's going to call me today. 2 hours later, Paul called me. Now tell me what he's doing. We're practicing. He does this all the time. If you'll pay attention, he'll practice with you. He will put a thought in your head, and if you notice it, you'll find it fulfilled that same day or soon. What you're doing, these things that were presented to your mind by the Spirit of God, will come to pass. And thus, by learning the Spirit of God, you may understand it until you grow in the principle of revelation, until you become perfect in Christ. Start to notice how many times he puts an odd thought in your head, and that day it comes to pass. Oh my goodness, this happens all the time. He's practicing with me so that I can learn what his thoughts feel like. That was me. Did you recognize the difference? He practices with us all the time. Pay attention, and you'll start to realize he puts thoughts in my head, and then they suddenly come to pass. Sometimes weird things. But he's going to happen. Lindsay, what were you going to add?
Oh, I was going to say, mine are more like, you should do this. And then if I do it.
And then you saw that you, yes, that's another one. So you should do this. And then later in the day, you realize, oh my goodness, that either that's why I thought that, or I really should have done that. My wife will say all the time, you know what? I had an impression to go straight and I didn't. And now I'm stuck in traffic. And I just thought, that was Heavenly Father practicing with you. You should go straight. And now you see that you should have. He practices with it. Start to pay attention to that, and you can grow. Now, here's a fascinating thought. This kind of freaked me out at first, but I now love it. I love it a lot, but initially, this bothered me. Boyd K. Packer said, as an apostle, I listen now to the same inspiration coming from the same source in the same way that I listened to as a boy. Guess what? Apostles don't get revelation any differently than you and I do. The difference is what? They've learned to hear. So watch for him practicing with you and putting thoughts in your head. But for the sake of time, let me just put a couple other things down that he plants in your head. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, he is so active in my life. Ready? How did Nephi know how to build a boat? Had he grown up in a boat building area? Is Jerusalem a boat building area? Not even close, right? Does Nephi know how to build? Has he ever built a boat in his entire life? How in the world does the Lord in heaven teach someone on earth how to build a boat when they've never built a boat before? Turn with me to 1 Nephi chapter 18, verse 1. Tell me what the Lord did. Tell me another thing that the Lord puts in our mind. This one's fascinating. Tell me what the Lord puts in our minds. Pictures. He puts pictures. He puts pictures in our mind. We see it. How many times have you just seen something in your mind? My mom was shown how to make a dress with the material that she had left over. She needed to make one more day. It was my wedding. My sister was my best man, so she was in a tuxedo, and no one was thinking of her as a bridesmaid, right? So my mom made all the bridesmaids' dresses. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, the wedding breakfast. She's not going to wear a tuxedo to the wedding breakfast. I need to make one more dress. But all the stores were out of that material. Now, she had lots of scraps. And she went and she searched for that material and no one had it. When she's driving home, a picture comes to her mind on how to fold the material that she has to make one more dress. She just saw a picture. You want to know how many scientific discoveries, if you really talk to the scientist, where did that idea come from? A picture in their mind. Watson and Crick discovered that DNA is a double helix because one of them had a picture come to their mind. You know the story about President Nelson operating on the heart? And he saw where to sew. Dotted lines. Heavenly Father puts pictures in our mind all the time. Let's do another one. Turn to Doctrine and Covenants. This is a revelation. Go to Doctrine and Covenants, section 138. This is about the spirit world. This is Joseph F. Smith, Doctrine and Covenants, section 138. Joseph F. Smith is having a revelation about the spirit world. And what did the Lord simply put? Look at verse 11. What did he put in his mind? Understanding. Sometimes he just, I love the phrase, opened the eyes of my understanding. But he just puts understanding. He just all of a sudden puts understanding. I know how to do that. Funny story, okay? I was mounting a TV. Now, I can't stand dangling cords. So whenever I mount a TV and the outlet's right there, I can't stand a cord dangling from the TV to the... No. So I wanted to, you know, put the cord in the wall and put an outlet right up on the wall. So I cut this hole in the wall. I better do it in front of the camera. So I cut this hole in the wall, and I'm trying to fish it down to that outlet down there. And I've got a hole about an inch thick that I'm trying to fish it through. And I'm just, it's taking forever. There's no way. There's no way I'm getting it in that hole. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, fish it up. Fish it up. Oh, my heck. So I went up from the hole down here, and it popped right out. First try. Now, here's the problem. Ready? In that moment, I'm tempted to think what? That was a good idea, Bryce. Instead of, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I recognize that I just received revelation. It comes so often. I know how to fix that problem. I know what to do. It just came to me. How many times have you said, it just came to me? Well, guess one of the things he puts in our minds. Thoughts, pictures, understanding. Let me do one more. Maybe the most common. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 26. In the New Testament, John 14, 26. Now, don't say the first thing that you read because you're going to miss the second one. You got to go to the second one. Tell me what he puts in our minds. John 14, 26. Yes, he will testify of the Father. Yes, but keep going. Tell me what he puts in my mind all the time. Reminders. How many times? I don't think I go a day with all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I forgot. I'm walking out the door and all of a sudden, I remember something I'm supposed to take with me. I just out of the blue remembered. Now here's the temptation. I might say what? Oh, I'm so glad I remembered. Or I could say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding me. I would have been in big trouble if I didn't bring that. How many times does he just say, don't forget? Now, that's just a small sampling. I should write that. Reminders. Now, may I ask about the miracle of communication from God? The miracle of being guided from on high. How often are you guided? All the time. Constantly. That's the miracle. That God is not dead. He speaks every day. Sometimes it's a picture. Sometimes it's a thought. You want to know the number of times I've been teaching a lesson and then suddenly remembered the perfect scripture that goes with the thought we're having right now. Oh, I just suddenly remembered what scripture to share. He's with me. He's with you. Sometimes it's just to my heart. Sometimes it's to my mind. I leave you my testimony that one of the greatest miracles he performs on a daily basis is the God of heaven speaks to you. Learn to recognize that as a miracle. And the more you recognize it and the more you're grateful for it, the more you invite more. I've learned to just simply say, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding me. I've started to say to my children when all of a sudden I can tell they just thought of something or they just understood or they just remembered, did Heavenly Father just remind you? Let's recognize that it is the miracle of communication. The miracle of being guided from on high. One of the greatest miracles that occurs on a daily basis. Learn to see it. Be grateful for it. Learn to invite more. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.